Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll just read two verses, Ephesians 6, 21 and 22 from the English Standard Version. Paul says, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." Lord, thank you for these two short verses. I pray that we would find ourselves blessed today as we look at these in a little more depth than we might normally do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there are verses in the Bible that appear to simply provide historical context. And it's important because we know that the Bible is historically accurate. It is an accurate account of history. However, we have a tendency to look at a verse or a couple of verses like these and perhaps to quickly move on to the next portion as we look for some spiritual principles that we can obviously see need to be applied to our lives. Indeed, God's own word indicates that even verses that seem to lack any spiritual implications are still profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work." So there is value here. Sam was a devout cowboy. He carried his Bible along with him even as he was doing his daily chores. And he lost this Bible, this favorite Bible of his, while he was mending fences somewhere out on the range. And despite his best efforts, it had been a little while and he had been unable to locate it. Then 3 weeks later, as he was working there around the barn, one of his cows walked up with this Bible in her mouth. And he looked, pulled the Bible away, opened it up, and was amazed. He lifted his eyes toward heaven, holding this Bible, and he said, "It's a miracle." And then he heard the cow respond, "Not really, your name's written in the front cover." Well, I've got a name for you this morning, but it's not Sam. In Ephesians 6:21, we come across a name that is mostly unfamiliar to us and perhaps even difficult to pronounce. The name is Tychicus. You can call him Ty for short if it makes it any easier. Whether or not you know very much about this man, we learn from the New Testament that he was actually a very important person in early church history. He's mentioned by Dr. Luke in his account of the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. Paul mentions him not only here in Ephesians, but also in his letter to the Colossians, and in one of his letters to Timothy, and in his letter to Titus. In all of these, Paul mentions him. And some suggest that Tychicus, or Ty for short, may also be one of the unnamed brothers that is commended by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So as we come to these final verses of Ephesians, I want us to ask Paul, as it were, who is this guy and what difference does it make to us today? So in answer to the first question on your outlines, who is Tychicus? We will say this. Point A, he was a Christian from Asia. He was a Christian from Asia. And I'll take you back now to Acts chapter 20. Acts, written by Dr. Luke, the same author of the gospel by the name of Luke. Acts was written to give us a history of how God was at work in those first days, years of the church. And we read in Acts chapter 20, verse 1, "After the uproar ceased." Now let me pause right there. What uproar? Well, we'd have to go back to the previous chapter. And in chapter 19, we find that Paul has been doing what Paul does. He's going and he's preaching the gospel. And as he preached it in this particular place, there in Ephesus, there was an uprising as a result of it. As a matter of fact, there was a riot. And it all boiled down to the fact that Paul was preaching that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and that we shouldn't worship idols. And so if you read the details back there, you find that those people who were responsible for crafting those idols and selling them in this city were pretty perturbed because Paul was encroaching upon their territory, so to speak, and robbing them of business. So they stirred up a bunch of folks, and before long, there was a riot on their hands. That's chapter 19. And then the riot ceased, chapter 20. And after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. And we'll just stop right there. This is really the only biographical information we have about Ty. He was Asian. He was from that part of the world that at that point was known as Asia. We may know it as Asia Minor. If you were to look in your maps in the back of your Bibles, you're going to be able to find that area. And you'll know that if you translate that into the 21st century, it's Turkey today. So he's from Turkey. That's what we know about him. There's not a lot to know besides that in terms of his biological, biographical information, rather. Now, this particular area of Turkey, even though you may not be real familiar with all of that area of the world, we know some key cities from Asia, from Turkey. Back in the day, Tarsus was located there. We know Tarsus because Saul was from there. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. Additionally, you'll find Antioch there in this neck of the woods. You'll find Colossae, and you'll find Ephesus. He was a Christian from Asia, a Christian from Turkey. We don't know how long he had been a Christian by the time we read about him. We don't know for sure when he became a Christian. But the likelihood is that it was somewhere while he was in his homeland. And there's even a possibility that it was a result of Paul having come through, perhaps in Ephesus, because he may have been from Ephesus, and Paul was preaching the gospel, and Ty heard the gospel message and responded to it. So we know that he was a Christian from Asia. We also know Tychicus was a volunteer on some of Paul's missionary trips, the second point on your outline. He was a volunteer on some of Paul's missionary trips. Now, we've already seen in Acts chapter 20 that Tychicus is one of the 7 listed among those who accompanied Paul sometime after the Ephesian riot. So we got 7 names there, most of which are very unfamiliar to us. We know Timothy, and in this case, now we are acquainted with Ty, or Tychicus. So he was with Paul at that point. And Paul's letters, especially as we look, for example, to the Ephesians in the context that we're in, or to the Colossians, which is written about the same time, these were written during Paul's imprisonment in Rome. So keep in mind that as we read the letter to the Ephesians, Paul is not in Ephesus. He has been there, he has preached there, he has ministered there, but he is not there now. He is away from them, and he's writing a letter to them for communication purposes. So in our context, these letters are written, probably both Ephesians and Colossians, while he is imprisoned in Rome. And in both of the letters to the Ephesians and the Colossians, he references Ty. And so we know that Ty was involved in Paul's missionary journeys to some degree. We may not know all the details, but we do know that. It should be noted, additionally, that these historical settings of Paul's missionary journeys suggest that any, including Tychicus, who would accompany Paul on a missionary journey as volunteering at great personal risk. Read Paul's story as you read through the book of Acts. And read his accounts as he shares various things in each of the epistles he wrote. Paul was often in grave danger. And we would assume that because he was in grave danger, that also put his traveling companions in danger, because they were associated with this man who went around causing riots. So that means people like Ty, who have volunteered to accompany him, are often putting themselves at great risk in order to be with Paul as Paul ministers on his missionary journeys. Here's another thing we know about Tychicus. He was an errand boy, point C. An errand boy? Now listen to our context again. Ephesians 6:21. So that you... Okay, who's the you here? He's writing to the Ephesians. So the Ephesians are hearing this letter. And Paul says this to the Ephesians. So that you, the Ephesians, may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are. Text messaging was not a thing yet, nor were telephones. If you wanted to deliver a message, it would have to be something that is written or that is passed on by word of mouth. And if it were something that is written, you then have to make arrangements for how it is going to get to the intended recipient. In this particular case, it was going to travel by way of Ty. So he says, I'm sending Ty to you, Tychicus, for this purpose, to tell you how I'm doing. And the same errand was communicated to the Colossians, by the way. In Colossians 4:7, he says to them, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. In other words, he's the errand boy. He's going to tell you. So imagine this first century scenario. Ty has grown up there somewhere in Asia, maybe in Ephesus, and at some point in Ty's life, Paul comes through and he preaches the gospel, and maybe it's during one of these evangelistic campaigns that Ty hears the gospel and God works within his heart and he realizes this is true and I need to receive Christ as Savior. So Ty bows his head and he prays and accepts Christ as his Savior and Lord. And whether immediately or sometime later, we don't know, but at some point following his conversion experience, he decides, I really need to make a difference for Christ with my life. It's not enough simply to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian who makes a difference. I want to be a Christian who does what God wants him to do. And so at some point, he volunteers to leave home and go on a missionary journey. Now, few of us here have done that. Most of us have probably not. But if you could, just picture yourself, either right now or even at some point earlier in your life, picture yourself developing such a passion for Christ that you decide, I need to make a difference for Christ. I am going to volunteer to go on a missionary journey. So picture that. For most of us, that brings a little bit of uneasiness. What's this going to be like? What am I going to run into? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I don't know the language? How do I handle this? And we could go through all that list of questions. It may be sufficient for most of us to say, you know what, I don't really think God's calling me to that. But Ty says, I want to make a difference. So he volunteers. And he's traveling now with Apostle Paul. And as he's struggling to know just how God is going to use him, then Paul comes to him. And he says, Ty, I need you to mail a letter. Mail a letter? Perhaps Ty's thinking to himself, wait a minute, I came on this job to serve God. I came in this job to make a difference for the kingdom of Christ. And you want me to mail a letter? That's the job of an errand boy. But that's what we see him doing. And indeed, I believe this was a significant step in Ty's life. God had a plan for him. And what we see as we continue reading is point D, that he became a valuable part of the team. He became a valuable part of the team. We have only a few brief glimpses of Tychicus in the Bible, but what we do see is that he became a very close friend and a trusted companion of Paul. Listen again to our context. Verse 21, "So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything." He uses almost the same terminology when he writes to the Colossians. He says, Ty is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Paul obviously valued this man. Not just as somebody who could mail a letter. And by the way, mailing a letter wasn't like running down to find the nearest post office box and dropping it in. It means that he was going to be traveling. He was going to be traveling sometimes by boat, sometimes by caravan perhaps, sometimes by foot. Because he's got to go all the way there to deliver it. His role as an errand boy was actually a vital role for Paul. The apostle needed someone reliable, someone with integrity, whom he could entrust with the responsibility of carrying his letters to these particular congregations. And these were not simply postcards from a friend. As a matter of fact, we would have to conclude that the letters that he was delivering were and are the very Word of God. Ty was entrusted by Paul with the Word of God to take this and deliver. Not only did he have the privilege of hand-delivering the Scripture to these churches, but it also appears, as we read these few verses in which we find him referenced, that he was eventually considered a suitable replacement for both Timothy and Titus, both of whom served as pastors of no small responsibility on their part. Matter of fact, we read in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 12, where Paul is writing to Pastor Titus, he says, "When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." Okay, we need to read between the lines here. First of all, he didn't know at this point whether it was going to be Artemas or Tychicus. And so we don't know which one he sent. We don't have that answer. But let's just assume, because regardless of which one it was, Paul had confidence in both. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that it was Ty. But listen to what he says. "When I send Ty to you, do your best to come to me." What does that mean? Titus had a responsibility. He was the pastor of this significant congregation. And now Paul says, "I'm sending Ty to you. When he gets there, he's going to relieve you so that you can come and see me, because I've got some things we need to talk about." In other words, you can trust this man. You can trust him to do what needs to be done. Similarly, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote to Pastor Timothy, and he says in verse 9, "Do your best to come to me soon." So here he wanted, once again, personal contact with Timothy. And then he describes some of what he's going through. "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." Now we know that Timothy was a pastor at Ephesus. And so it's like, once again, what we see here, the implication is that Tychicus can fulfill your responsibilities as pastor, maybe on an interim basis, but he can fulfill your responsibilities. You can trust this man. He will do the job right, and then you come and see me. So he was considered a suitable replacement for these. Clearly, Ty had proven himself and had become a valuable part of the team whom Paul entrusted to lead others. So, what can you learn from Tychicus? This is our second question we're going to answer. What can you learn from Ty? First of all, you should be willing to serve in the background. You should be willing to serve diligently, I might add, in the background. The name Tychicus is somewhat obscure, not to mention hard to pronounce. in spite of the fact that he was obviously an outstanding example of Christian service. He did not draw attention to himself. This was a man who was willing to serve diligently in the background. As a follower of Christ, you should follow the example of Ty and be willing to serve diligently in the background. Don't desire the admiration of men, but rather be willing to serve with humility. As we read in Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. It appears that was Ty's perspective on life, and we should follow that example. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God wants you, wants me, to serve humbly and diligently in the background. Be willing to do that. Secondly, you should gladly accept any role needed. Point B, you should gladly accept any role needed. Let me use the vernacular here, our United States vernacular. Ty played second fiddle. He played second fiddle. He wasn't the lead. He wasn't the soloist in the band that everybody looked to. As a matter of fact, you could say that Ty's job was just to make Paul's job easier. He played second fiddle. He ran errands. He was a delivery boy, as it were. He was a reporter talking about someone else's life, not his own. You could say that Ty, in many ways, was invisible. When he showed up, the first question he would hear is, how is Paul? Not, how are you doing, Ty? What's your life like? How's ministry going for you? No, it was, how is Paul? That was his job. He played second fiddle. Ephesians 6:22, he says, I have sent Tychicus to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are. Why was he being sent? To tell them how Paul was doing. He was the delivery boy. He was the message boy. The terminology, however, that is used to describe Ty shows that he gladly accepted any role that was needed. And Paul says, hey, I need somebody to go take word back to Ephesus. He was game. I'm here. Just tell me what you need. I'll go. Whatever is needed. If he had been proud, if he had been picky, if he were only willing to do a job that carried some degree of distinction or prestige, I don't think you would have seen Paul using the kind of words that he used to describe this man. What can we learn from Ty? Well, as a follower of Christ, I would ask you, where do you draw the line for what you will and what you won't do? Tychicus has provided a beautiful example of gladly accepting any role needed. James says this in James 2, verse 1, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes to you at your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down here at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? What does this have to do with Tychicus? Well, the interpretation of this passage is don't show partiality toward others. We understand that. But let me suggest to you that even as we think about that interpretation of this passage, it's really not about the others. It's about the heart of the person who is acting. So when James says, don't show partiality, he's really saying, I'm not even talking about other people. I'm talking about your heart. What's in your heart? So if I'm thinking, how do I apply this to my life? Then by application, I should ask that when I consider some tasks, do I consider the certain ones to be below me, below my dignity, below my abilities, below my responsibilities, I would suggest to use the terminology of James that when I consider some task to be below me, that I am allowing evil, selfish, proud thoughts to determine my willingness to serve, and I have become a judge in my own heart. Ty has set an example of being willing to accept any role that is needed, regardless of what it might be. It's not about me, folks. It's about the kingdom of God. And because it's about the kingdom of God, then point C, you should take your responsibility seriously. You should take your responsibility seriously. Ty had tasks that he was supposed to complete. And although we don't know the details of everything else he may have done, it's conceivable that some of what he was expected to do may have just been what we would refer to as menial tasks. But regardless of what the task may have been, I think that Ty didn't consider it something that he just had to do. He saw it as a ministry. And indeed, Paul describes him in both Ephesians and Colossians as Tychicus, a faithful minister in the Lord. A faithful minister. He had a ministry and he was faithful with it. You know, as a Christian, all of your tasks ought to be done with a top-notch work ethic. Regardless of what the task is, you should do it with that top-notch work ethic. That ought to be your norm. Titus 2:7 says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. In all respects, meaning it doesn't matter what you're doing. Whatever it is that you're doing, show yourself to be a model of good works. Show yourself to be doing the very best that you can so that others are going to look at you and say, wow, that is an amazing job with whatever you just did. That is an amazing job of cleaning the toilet. Menial tasks. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. The New Living Translation, or the Message rather, paraphrase, says it this way. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it and heartily. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it and heartily. That's the idea here, that you're going to do your best, like Tychicus appears to have done. I like A.W. Tozer's quote here. Refuse to be average. Let your heart soar as high as it will. Don't just do an average job. Do the very best. Take your responsibility seriously. And along these same lines, let me phrase it this way for point D. You should give yourself fully to God's work. You should give yourself fully to God's work. Forgive the Las Vegas terminology, but Tychicus was an all-in guy. He's all in. He didn't give himself fully to his responsibilities so that he could gain a reputation for himself. He did it because he was all in for God. Look again at Ephesians 6:21 and Colossians 4:7. Tychicus is described as a faithful minister in the Lord. There's your key phrase. Yeah, he was faithful. Yes, he did what he did because it was a ministry. But this was in the Lord. This was a relationship with his Savior, God. What he did because of his relationship with God himself. Paul describes the mindset of himself and his fellow ministers, including people like Tychicus, as being fully committed to the Lord's work. He says in 2 Corinthians 8:21, we aim at what is honorable in the Lord's sight. Is that the way you tackle every task you do? I'm going to aim at being honorable and doing my best in the Lord's sight. Paul's perspective would be the same as that of Tychicus and every other Christian. The attitude that we ought to have is that we do what we do not for the praise of men, but in order to glorify God, in order to give ourselves fully to the work of God. In Galatians 1:10, Paul says, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So he's contrasting. Am I doing what I do because of what others are going to think about me? Or am I doing it because of my relationship with God? And it needs to be first and foremost my relationship with God. Nothing else even comes close. That's my motivation. So as a servant for Christ, you should be all in. All in for the Lord. Whatever you do, Colossians 3:23 says, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And since whatever you do and wherever you serve is for the Lord, then you should excel in serving. Finally, point E, you should excel in serving. Tychicus was an errand boy. Yes, he was, but so much more. He was one who could be depended upon to accurately relay news and reports about God's work in the first century church. We could say about Tychicus that he was an excellent reporter. He was told, go and tell them, and they were told, you can ask him and he will tell you. In other words, he was an excellent reporter. And he was one who brought joy and motivation to those who heard him. So we could say that he was an excellent encourager. Again, our context verses say, so that you may also know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. People were encouraged because of the things that Tychicus shared with them. He uses the same expression in Colossians 4:8, where he says, I'm sending him that he may encourage your hearts. He was a reliable extension of others who were in the limelight. Not that Paul was necessarily desiring to be in the limelight, but he was the preeminent apostle to the Gentiles. And we look at Tychicus, who did not hold that position, and he was an extension of Paul, as it were, so that Paul, who had these responsibilities, could lean on Ty and say, Ty, I need you to do this. And Ty would say, it's done. I'll go. I'll do it. And it'll be done well, because he was an extension. We could say that Tychicus was an excellent assistant. And so he says in 2 Timothy 4, I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. In Titus 3, when I send Tychicus to you. He was an extension of Paul. Paul said, I am sending, and he represents me. I mentioned earlier that some scholars believe that Ty is one of the two unnamed brothers referenced alongside Pastor Titus in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Others suggest that it may have been Luke or Timothy or Apollos or Trophimus or Barnabas, and the list could go on. The truth is that we don't know. God didn't give us that information. You can read that passage for yourself. We do read in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, with him, that is with Titus, we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. Now the likelihood is that that's probably not Tychicus. It could have been. Maybe he was famous for his preaching. Apollos probably fits that example even more, because we know he was famous. But if you jump down to verse 22, he's now talked about Titus and this brother who is famous for preaching. And then he says in verse 22, and with them we are sending, and here how he describes this next person. We are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever, because of his great confidence in you. This could have been Tychicus. We don't know for sure. I'm not telling you that it was. I am telling you that what I read here in 2 Corinthians 8 is very consistent with what we've learned about Ty from other passages of Scripture. And the expression that Paul uses here is that he is earnest. He uses that expression twice. It means that he's eager, that he's zealous, that he is on fire. He's going to do this. With them we are sending our brothers, this is 2 Corinthians 8:22, whom we have tested often and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. So the sense here is that in whatever way this particular person ministered to these believers, he was doing so with an earnest sense of zeal. He was eager. And he was doing it, we're confident, with excellence. We could say that Tychicus was an excellent minister in whatever he undertook. As a follower of Jesus Christ, what can we learn from him? Recognizing that it is the Lord you are serving, you should always be aiming for excellence. Make every effort, Peter says in 2 Peter 1:5, to supplement your faith with virtue. At least three major translations translate that word virtue as excellence. You need to supplement your faith with excellence. Do it the very best that you can. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Paul was not doing what he was doing so that he could get a bunch of rewards or recognition. However, he recognized that what he was doing was being accounted by God. And he said, "I want to run in such a way that I've got God's approval, because I'm going to receive an inheritance that is eternal." And we could say the same thing about Tychicus. He obviously was not in it for personal recognition. But I am confident that what he did with excellence, knowing that God was his ultimate judge. My prayer is that in the years to come, as you're doing your daily Bible readings, you're going to come across this name, Ty, and you're going to immediately remember, "Oh yeah, I'll just call him Ty." And then you're going to put together some of the things we said here today, and you're going to think, "How can I learn from Ty of what it means to be a good follower of Jesus Christ, to be a faithful servant?"